Welcome to the Idaho Cutthroat Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Field, and your co-host, Tori Thomas, is enjoying time off this week, or at least the week of this recording. So I hope everyone else is enjoying some time off and the beautiful weather we're having here in the state. So we'll start off with our Chamber Corkboard. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on. But as far as kind of the events we have on the calendar for next week on the 30th at 2 p.m., we have a chamber check-in with the Bank of Idaho. So looking forward to that. I always love those chamber check-ins. Today, our guest is Representative John Vanderwada. Without going into too much details, he's been in the legislature for over a decade and is a lifelong entrepreneur. So it was fun to visit with him both on the policy and business side of things, get his business advice of what he's learned over a lifetime of small business, and just also get his perspective on the legislature and the changes that are coming up with this really a fresh crop of freshmen, a large class that's going to come in this upcoming legislative session. So without further ado, here is Representative Vanderwada. Representative John Vanderwada, welcome to the Idaho Cutthroat Business Podcast.
Well, it's good to be here, Jeremy. We just got done with a round of golf, so, I mean, this is probably a good way to end it, I would guess. Talking politics, at least if we talk politics while I'm golfing, it usually messes up my game.
Yeah, we did that once, and then we got off that topic quick.
Stay away from that, yeah. Not like concentrating on golf it helped us any, but, you know.
It was really nice. Warm Springs Golf Course, just another great gem of our community, walking along the river. We were talking about just how great it is to be in Boise, Idaho, in our area that we live, you know, this part of this state, all over Idaho is gorgeous, but Idaho, especially this part, the way it was laid out and some of the vision that they did with putting the community the way they did with the Greenbelt and everything else, it makes it so that people really enjoy the outdoors together, and that builds community. It's really great.
Well, and Idaho is a great place to live.
Yeah.
I mean, I moved up here 42 years ago from California, so I'm almost a native compared to everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons I did move up here because I wanted a good place to raise my family. And it has worked out really well for me because I have 3 kids and 12 grandkids. And all 3 kids are within a mile, and so all the grandkids live around. I tell people I go on vacation to get away from the grandkids because I don't have to go visit them because they're around all the time. And so so I grew up in ag. My dad had a dairy in California, and then I had my own dairy in California, and then moved up here in 1980. Had milked my own cows for about 6 years, and then bought a milk testing lab, which is right across the street. And so I've been self-employed all my life. So the first time I had to drive to work was when I ran for the legislature.
Okay.
And, you know, that was 16 years ago.
Okay.
I've been in 14 and went out 2 in between because I was in 2 years and then lost my primary reelection. So I know what it's like. I just went through primary this time and got primaried running against an incumbent. And I got challenged at my first year as a freshman and lost the primary. So, you know, you think you're a Republican, you're doing okay, but you get challenged by the Republicans too in some of this stuff. And so I won one or lost one. And I came back 2 years later, got back in the legislature, and have been there since. So.
And your main committee assignment is health and welfare.
I've been in health and welfare, not because that's my expertise. Actually, yeah. I didn't know anything about health and welfare. But what happened was when I came back, and I ran for leadership, I ran for caucus chair, and part of my thing was, if you're in leadership, you shouldn't all be on the same committees.
Yeah.
Because leadership was generally on revenue, tax, and resources.
Okay.
And so when I ran and got caucus chair, Mike Moyle was the majority leader. He was on revenue, tax. Brent Crane was assistant majority leader, and he was on state affairs. So that only left me 2 other morning committees because you couldn't be on JFAC.
Right.
So my other morning committee was either health and welfare or education. And so I put myself on health and welfare and been there ever since. I've learned a lot. And so in those 10 years, you know, not, it was, It was a struggle because it wasn't my field of expertise, and the committee didn't think the way I did.
Yeah.
And so quite often I may be one of two votes on health and welfare that would be the other way. And like the insurance exchange, I think I was only the only person on the committee that voted against it in committee.
Okay.
And, you know, it's more balanced these last few years, but not quite leaning the other way yet.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I think that's one of the neat things about the legislature is it challenges everyone that goes in there, ends up having to learn a lot about something that's not in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that doesn't have to, you know, really start drinking from the fire hose when they get there, because there's just so much going on.
Well, and you can't be an expertise on everything.
Right.
You have to depend on some other people that are in the committees. And being on health and welfare, when you hear the testimony, it does kind of change your perspective of yeah. what you see and what you think. And so there have been times where I thought, huh, now I'm not where I normally would have. It's a lot easier to go on the floor and vote against something unless you hear the testimony and you see what where the needs are and stuff like that, that you think, no, I probably should go the other way. And so
can you think of it? Can you remember a specific time where that happened or that's coming up? I know that's a hard thing to do on the spot.
Well, part of it was similar to a couple years ago. I worked on trying to put sideboards on Medicaid expansion.
Oh, okay.
And so I worked on that and everything. I worked with a bunch of different people. And when we finally got the bill passed out of the House, the Channel 6, I think, was did an interview and says, well, what do you think of your bill? How do you like your bill? And I said, it's not my bill. It's what I thought I could get done.
Sure.
You're right. I mean, so I wasn't trying to write legislation to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to do what I thought I could get done.
Yeah, the politics is the art of the possible.
Yeah, yeah, and you got to figure you somewhere down the line. I've just got to get some sideboards on it.
Sure.
I gave the governor 13 ideas, and he didn't even like my best ones. But you know, this was what we could get through
sure.
between the House and the Senate and the governor, and so it's kind of those kind of battles that you run into. And another real instance was sign language.
Okay.
So they brought a proposal to health and welfare to start licensing sign language. Well, generally I'm against government regulations trying to add. And so this was creating another licensing agency and making people who knew how to do sign language have to get a license. Now, generally I would be against, you know, creating more government control.
Right.
But when you hear of how it's needed and how few people can have it, and how you actually have to have somebody that does it correctly. And so, you know, if somebody is hearing impaired, they've got to be able to depend on the person that's doing sign language to them.
Yeah.
And so when you went through all that process, I said, okay, I guess I will support it. Yeah. So
no, I love hearing those stories, and you know, I hear them from a lot of different legislators, because yeah, it's you go in and you have an idea, and it's nice to know that our leaders are humble enough to hear that their minds can be changed when they get new information.
Yeah,
it's definitely a good.
Well, it's a key because you don't know it all. Nobody knows it all, and you can have a different opinion, and that's fine. And I always tell people, I don't mind, you know, listening to your different opinion. It's okay with me if you're wrong, if you disagree with me. But, you know, but I say it jokingly, but yeah. I'm almost always willing to listen, not always agree.
Yeah.
And some people think that listening means I have to agree. No, I can listen. You can bring me your point of view. And I always say, you can't be afraid of putting out your own ideas. Because if you can't defend it and you lose the argument, maybe it's not a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's, something that every legislator should be able to say, hey, this is what I think, but have the confidence and the humility to, when it's something that they've learned something new, they can, you know,
yeah.
make a change or at least be able to get the ideas out there so you can have a debate, because that's
yeah.
how you figure
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's great. I've really this is my first year with the chamber and the first time acting as a lobbyist for any organization, and so I learned a lot. It was really fun to watch people just figure out tough, sticky issues, and that's what you do all the time. Not always, like you said, it's the art of the possible. There's not always the best case scenario.
No,
you're just trying to figure out what can work.
And lobbyist to me is a relationship.
Yeah,
I have to be able to trust that the lobbyist is going to give me the straight information.
Yeah.
And maybe a different perspective than what I agree with, but he's at least going to give me straight information and not try to blindside me or stuff. I've had a few that have done that too, and I'd be a little more cautious on some of those. Yeah. So.
No, it's a good thing to know is that, you know, Idaho's still a small state, and you have to be able to shoot straight with people, especially when you're working with the legislature, because, you know, you got a reputation. If you can either shoot straight, or pretty soon people just, you know,
trust what you're saying. And I usually shoot pretty straight, so most people kind of know where I'm at. But, and you know, and the beauty of Idaho really is it's a citizen legislature.
Yeah.
We all have something else we do besides that, or you're retired or whatever. And so, and to me, that's something we've got to maintain. There's no way I want to go into a professional legislator. I mean, I would quit if it was full time. And it was interesting because I've talked to some freshmen and said, you know, well, when I get there, I'm going to represent my district first. And then, you know, and then the Constitution and then my own. And I think, no, you can't. Because if you represent just your district, we'll have the logjam that Washington, D.C. has. Because those people there represent their district so well, they always get reelected, but they never get anything done. Because every law you pass affects everybody in Idaho. So you can't say, I'm only going to vote what's best for my district. You have to vote what's best for Idaho. And I've had instances like that where smog testing in Ada County, was Ada County, but CUNA was exempt, and CUNA was my district. Well, when we came to the proposal to expand the emissions testing, I voted in favor of it, even though for my district it was not a good idea, because they all liked it. That if you lived in CUNA, you didn't. And I don't know why CUNA was exempt to start with, but they were the part of Ada County that was exempt. Huh. And it's like, no, for the best part, we're all in the same airshed. So for the best part, it'd be, we all should do that. Now, we're going to, you know, we've gotten to the point now where we're going to get rid of the emissions testing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so because it's just the vehicles are that much cleaner.
Sure.
But sometimes you have to vote what's not necessarily best for your district, but what's best for Idaho.
One of my favorite, thank you for that. That was actually one of my favorite stories of the session is that, you know, just with fleet turnover and technology the way it is, The fact that we got cleaner air than we did in the 80s.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing to.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, there's so much negative stuff. So when you have a clear positive win on something like that in the environment, what a wonderful thing to be able to say, all right, well, we don't need to test our cars anymore. We're breathing clean air.
Yeah.
Obviously, tons of turnover this year. What do you think some of the challenges will be going forward with a really new class of legislators?
It's going to be interesting to see what the dynamics of it is. And, you know, legislators that come in with an agenda generally don't last very long or are not successful. You just have to come in with the idea of, I'm going to do what's best for Idaho and work and see what you can get done and build, you know, relationships and build coalitions of getting stuff done. And so it'll be really interesting. It's going to be, especially as we look into leadership of the chairmen and vice chairs and new leadership in the House from the Speaker on down, what the dynamics of all that's going to be. I have no idea at this point.
I think that's the real issue with the legislature this year is that there's just so much unknown. No one has that crystal ball to know everything's going to shake out.
No.
And so that's got everybody paying attention and a little bit nervous, but it's exciting too. It'll be fun to have all these different viewpoints in the legislature, bringing new perspectives. It'll be a kick. But when you lose so much institutional knowledge from retirements or people being primaried, it's also that part is a little sad for me.
And that was one of the reasons why I decided to run again, because I just felt like we were losing too much on retirement and redistricting and institutional knowledge. I remember when I came in and, you know, Bert Stevens and Del Rabo were there, and those were the guys I depended on to learn the ropes and everything. And there's just not that many around this time around that that have the experience.
No, it's true. We were talking about before, it's a fire hose. There's a lot to learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Procedure alone. So, no, that'll be an exciting thing to watch. One of the neat things about you, like you were saying before, is you've been self-employed your whole life. And so because we represent small businesses and entrepreneurs, what's some of the advice you give people when they thinking about starting a business or they're running a business? What are some of the great, or just maybe one, great lesson you learned as an entrepreneur?
Never figure that it's a 40-hour week.
Yeah.
Figure it's an 80-hour week if you're going to be self-employed. I mean, I dairied for 10 years, 4 in California and 6 up here. And then I bought the milk testing lab, and I thought, you know, hey, this thing can make money. I'll be okay if I just get a little more volume. It took a year before I could pick any dime out of that business.
Uh-huh.
And it takes time to build the revenue. Now, it has a good revenue now, but it takes time. So you've got to plan on putting in a lot of hours. I had a gal that was working for us at Legacy, and she says, she was single. She says, well, we keep telling her, you got to find a good husband that wants to work. Well, I don't want him to work more than 40 hours a week. Well, you're not going to get ahead 40 hours a week.
Sure.
You know, it's just going to, it'll be a job, and you do that. But if you're going to, you have to be willing to put everything into it. And it doesn't always work out. I mean, not everything I did worked out either, you know, but I keep trying, and my son's had a couple of bumps in the road too. And so, yeah, but it takes time. And we're...
No, I think you do. It takes to, you got to have kind of a good nerve on you when you're an entrepreneur. You got to be ready to be flexible and try different things. But yeah, no matter what, it's a lot.
And there's nothing more frustrating when you're an entrepreneur and you've got this vision of how you want to do it, but the bank doesn't see it. No, it's like, you know, no, they don't understand it. I had that shortly after I bought the milk testing lab, and the banker came there, and you know what he told me? He says, you know, if I had to sell this equipment on auction, I wouldn't get very much money because it's too specialized for the milk testing. And I says, yeah, that's why I make money. It's because it's specialized, not because, and I didn't want a banker that was thinking about what happens if I have to auction off all this equipment, you know? And so you got to have somebody that'll back you. And just like we talk in the legislature, you got to have people that believe you, trust you, and stuff like that. When you're an entrepreneur, you need some financial advice of people that trust you too, that figure you're going to make the right decisions and that too. So
that's cool. Well, one of the wonderful things we like to talk about when we're with this podcast is to talk about the local businesses that make a difference in our lives. And what's one of your favorite local small businesses that you want to plug here today?
Well, it has to be my son's, of course, is Greenfield Meats.
Okay.
So he bought this 3 years ago just because, and he was building another convenience store, feed store over in Napa. And then the guy came to him and says, hey, I want to sell. He says, okay, I told you, well, if you ever want to sell, I'll buy it.
Sure.
And so he bought it. And the demand for that is just phenomenal, that people want to have homegrown beef, locally slaughtered, locally packaged and stuff like that, to where he's already booking into next year.
Oh, wow.
For animals. And they do, and he raises some on my ground too, but it's just a very unique and yet very much in demand. But even now he wants to expand and make it bigger so that he can handle more of the demand. But you have to deal with Cuna and Meridian because he's right in the middle.
Yeah.
You have to deal with who's going to say. And then they're trying to figure out, well, meat packing place, what kind of zoning do I need to have for that?
Yeah.
You know, and so they couldn't figure out where that would fit in into, is it ag, is it commercial? And so they're trying to figure out what type of zoning. And so I think he finally came to the conclusion was the only way he couldn't tear it down and build a new one, because he'd have to have different, but he could remodel the old one. So that's kind of where he's leaning. you know, of remodeling the old one. Okay. But then with the economy the way it is right now, it's kind of like, do I borrow that kind of money? Interest rates are going higher. Inflation costs are way going higher. Do I want to risk that now, or do I want to wait till things settle down a little bit more? Man. But it's a great place to get good meat, you know. But cool. I got to pay full price, too, even though it's my son's.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah. Representative, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time and being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
been
fun. We'll try to pick your brain next time, too.
Okay. Right. Well, don't pick it too hard. There won't be anything left.
We'll be gentle. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Chamber Faithful. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Representative Vanderwater. He is just a fun guy to hang out with. If you have met him, you know that John really, he's guided by some principles that he has, and I really liked his idea about, you know, that when you're in there, you're not just representing your constituency in your district, but the state. And I think he's shown that over and over again, that he lives up to his principles, and it's nice to know. I loved his story about how he's open to having his mind changed when he hears testimony and new facts. All the stuff you want to hear from a legislator, because, you know, we never can know everything about an issue, and it's nice to have leadership that has the humility to see when something can be improved with knowledge that they don't have in their back pocket already. So I always like hanging out with John. It was fun. I hope you enjoyed our first chamber podcast recorded out in the open. I hope you enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. I'm probably going to do that more often because it was a fun way to visit and have a conversation. So hope everyone has a good week, and take care of yourselves.